Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Juravich. This is our membership drive. More about that in just a moment. Whether it's glaciers, sand dunes, mountains, or beaches, America's national parks are home to some of the most beautiful landscapes to be found in the country. Travel writer Mike Oswald has spent a great deal of time traversing and documenting them all. He's journeyed thousands of miles, over hundreds of visits, and distilled what he's learned into his many books. His latest book, brand new, is titled Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders. In addition to the national parks, the book also explores national forests and monuments, as well as state and regional parks. Mike Oswald, welcome back to All Sides.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm always happy to come down to Arch City. I listened to a few episodes
you learned that we used to be called Arch City. Yep. Just for like a 20-year period back in like, I think, what did he say, 1920 or something like that.
Yeah, the arches are no more.
We can talk about Arch, you know, there's a national park named that, right?
Yep, there are some arches out there in the West.
But I want to thank you for driving down and joining us here in the studio. So your latest book focuses on 11 Western states. Why did you decide to narrow your focus that this time? Why did you pick those 11 states?
It's a lot selfish, to be honest, because I want to explore those states more. There's a ton of public land out there. There are a lot of national parks, and that is where, I guess, not the most crowding is going on in the national parks out west, but they are getting pretty crowded. And as I looked around, like, I'd be driving around craning my neck and be like, what's that, as I'm driving between park to park.
Yeah.
And so I want to take some time, figure it out, and try to relieve some of that stress that the parks are feeling, and to let visitors have a better summer vacation by not dealing with some of those crowds that you get in the national parks.
So in your new book, you have 1,000 Western Wonders. So of those thousands, some of them are, you know, there are national park sites, but you're also exploring national forests and then state and regional parks. So you're trying to like spread the wealth to be like, you can go to the national park, but this state park is just as beautiful, right? Something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was trying to be smart and create sort of itineraries for people just in between spots, because a lot of the parks are hours drive away from one another. And in between, there's a lot of national forests, a lot of state parks, different campgrounds, like campgrounds that you don't have to book a year in advance, and some that you can just pull right in. And a lot of them are just as beautiful as a national park. So for years, I've been calling the national parks sort of the meme of the outdoor world, where it's and they deserve it. They're beautiful, and people love them. And that's why they get shared and reshared and get all the attention. But a lot of these other places like national forests and state parks, they don't get nearly the amount of attention, and people just drive right by them, often through the night. And that'd be another thing I'd encourage people to do, is to drive during the day, and you'll see a lot more. Like, there's something beautiful everywhere. Like, I was just sitting at Mirror Lake here in Columbus, and it's beautiful right here in the middle of downtown. And
you went to Mirror Lake on Ohio State's campus.
Yep,
yeah. Say they're a beautiful spot, kids.
Yep. and that's kind of the thing. Like, if you look a little bit, you'll find these places. Yeah, so I'm just trying to help point people in the right direction, I guess, to have a little better experience on their vacations.
Well, this is our membership drive on 89.7 NPR News, and I want to remind you that listener support is the most important part of our budget. Make a gift right now at WOSU.org or give us a call, 866-897-9678. Discover the beauty of the American West with Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders by Mike Oswald. It's a stunning guide that explores more than 390 million acres of public lands across 11 states, from iconic places like Zion National Park and Glacier National Park to lesser-known gems, the places with fewer crowds. And with hundreds of inspiring images and practical insights, this book is the perfect companion for your next adventure. You can get this book as your thank you gift today with a sustaining gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org. And your gift supports public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, we're asking you to support the program you listen to, the program you value. If you listen to 89.7 NPR News, you know that you can trust the news you hear. You can trust the news and information, and you know you're going to hear thoughtful analysis as well. We're asking you to make a gift to support everything you hear today. Make this drive a great success, and you'll get a great brand new book as your thank you gift. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Mike, what do you hope that people take away from the book, Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders? I mean, you know, you can say you hope they take away 1,000 new insights, right? Because there's 1,000 things. But what's the big takeaway?
I hope they take away how much public land there is out there. So you mentioned that 390 million acres in the West, and that's a lot of land,
yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I looked up how big Ohio is. So it's 30 million, like less than 30 million acres.
Okay,
so you're talking
that's helpful.
Six times the size of Ohio.
Okay.
And like when you look at the National Park Service, they manage 85 million acres. So that's three Ohio's worth of land.
Okay, and, so yeah, so you're talking, I mean, in these 11 states, that is 390 million, wow.
And the national, and that's kind of like a common narrative, right? That there isn't enough land, there's too many people. Mm-hmm. And I hear it all the time, and it makes me kind of sad. Like, misanthropy is kind of at an all-time high, I feel, at least in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we're not all that bad. Like, and everybody's just trying to do the same thing. And so I get in a lot of conversations like that, and people kind of complain about people playing music, and people complain about not being the only person at, like, these beautiful places. And I'm like, I think you're the same people. Like, you're both very selfish.
Yeah.
Like, one person wants to be there on their own, and the other person, like, acts like they are the only person there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... So I guess that would be my takeaway. Like, if you want a place to yourself, you can find it if you look. If you just want a place that you don't have to plan a year in advance, you can find that too. If you are looking at the flagship sort of parks that everybody knows, the Yosemites, the Yellowstones, the Grand Canyons, those are there too, and you just have to put a little more effort into it. But it is to try to make a more fulfilling, more just more efficient trip too, so you aren't, like I said, driving hours between destinations and find these pit stops that can be equally rewarding to the big national park stops.
So if you want to go on a hike and you want to see zero people, you can find a place to do that. And your book is going to help you do that. But you're saying, like, don't go to the Grand Canyon. You're not going to find a hike with zero people on it, right?
Yeah, you probably can, because there's 600 miles of trails in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So there are a lot. But yeah, for the most part, if you want to find... fewer people, you go to lesser known places, mainly national forests and BLM land.
I want to say thank you to Angela Pratt from Columbus. Thanks for your support. We also heard from Merrimack Bratton. Thank you for your support as well. And thank you for writing, though, Tom. We appreciate all of the programming WOSU provides. We thank you for your support today. You could get a great thank you gift if you love the outdoors or dream about your next trip. Public Land 1000 Western Wonders will open the door to unforgettable places. Author Mike Oswald takes you beyond the usual stops to waterfalls, alpine lakes, and quiet landscapes across the national parks, the forests, and the public lands. It is 393 pages of inspiration that will help you plan where to go next. Start a monthly gift of $15 a month right now, or make a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org. And public radio is for the lifelong learner. It's for people who chase their curiosity. Public radio is for people who love hiking, getting outdoors, enjoy national parks. And you also turn to WOSU for news and context and connection. Support us by becoming a monthly sustainer today. We are listener-supported public radio. We count on listeners like you to give during these membership drives. And in return, we bring you news and information that you can trust. Make a gift right now. Get this great book about national parks and other Western wonders. Give at WOSU.org. I wanted to ask you about, much like a lot of parts of our society today, the national parks are not immune to politics. The national forests aren't immune to politics. There's been staffing cuts, funding cuts, signage changes at some parks. In your travels, how have you seen this playing out on the ground?
Yeah, for sure. Politics are deeply embedded in these things. And I guess, to be fair, all of my information is anecdotal at best and from conversations and observations from in the parks. And there are signs that are coming down to sort of, I guess, reshape history to make it way that one party wants. Yeah. And I never even know. I don't want to be unaffiliated to the politics in general.
I understand.
Like I wish like nature should be like ice cream and travel. Like everybody should be in supportive of it and like it for the most part, except for like 1 or 2% of the people.
Like tacos and pizza. You can make everyone happy because you can make it so many different ways.
But everything's partisan and everything's making points and I think the biggest issue is like the staff cuts are a major problem. Like undeniably park rangers make the parks better and maintenance is obviously required. Like if you think about a place like Yellowstone, like it's a literal city in the middle of nowhere where they have to have sewage, they have to have water for it's maybe 30,000 people are coming in there per day in the middle of summer and it has to be able to accommodate that and you need money to do it. And I guess on the flip side of things, if you're looking at both sides of the political, like your show is all sides, it is like I've never heard anyone turn down more money, right? Like no one ever asked for less.
Right.
So it's like, so I have no idea what this case is. And I know people are unhappy with the current administration, but without being in there, like all I'm doing is parroting what I hear. So it is like discontent with what's going on and I understand it. And the shutdowns are problematic always. It makes things just more difficult for everybody. And but beyond that, like it's just an unfortunate situation that things need to be politicized. Like nature should not be politicized.
Well, how do you view the Park Service? They've lost roughly a quarter of their permanent employees, but how are they adjusting to the decreased staffing? Because I've heard a lot of interviews with them. I mean, they truly love these parks. They care about it. They want to keep them up and running. So are they? Are they working harder like than ever?
I imagine they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're literally their home, right? And they love these places and want everybody to experience them the way they do. I imagine they are working quite a bit harder, and they're in the middle of like record crowds, right? So they have less staff, more visitors, and it's just a bad situation all around. And I've heard lots of problems with getting summer help. That's an issue that like summer help kind of needs to be independently wealthy to live in these areas and work there. And it's, I don't know. I've said it many times, like I would not want to be a superintendent at any of these places because you're just between a rock and a hard place between keeping the stakeholders and gateway communities happy and trying to keep the visitors happy on the other end. And it's, and keep your staff happy too. Like that's a major issue, especially when there's low morale from people taking buyouts and being cut.
Well, talk to me about the difference between a national park and a national forest. Is there a distinct difference with the staffing or what is happening at a national forest versus like a park?
It's much more bare bones than national forest. I speaking of Mirror Lake again, I was just thinking about this while I was sitting there and I was thinking like, what's a good analogy for national forests versus national parks?
Yeah.
And I had like this light bulb moment. I think it's like universities, like national parks to universities. They get a lot of money. They have a lot of infrastructure. And for a lot of people, they work really well, but they're more expensive. Mm-hmm. And you still have to like put in the effort to like make good choices about what you're doing. And I see the national forest like going to trades. They aren't as expensive. You can get a good time out of it if you put the effort into have a good life. They make your life better. But it really is. The national parks have serious infrastructure. They have lodges. They have big campgrounds. Almost all the roads are paved. They have all the staff to like, whenever you have questions, there's somebody there. National forests, like you don't see rangers. You have to go find them. I was talking to one Forest Service ranger and it was the middle of the busiest time for him. And he's like, they bring in people from the National Wildlife Reserve and they bring in people from the fisheries to kind of help out. So it is kind of, they're in it together, the different agencies to make that work when it's busy time for the National Forest. But for the most part, National Forest, like there's a lot of Forest Service roads, so they're unpaved. And it's just more difficult to access. There's less signage, so you have to kind of know what you're doing. A lot of the trails don't have bridges, so you're crossing creeks. It's more primitive. It's more wild. And a lot of people, I think, will find that kind of exhilarating when they're out there. But if it's not something they're into,
you have to know like, what you're in
for. Yeah, so you could have a bad time, too. Yeah. Like, oh, shoot, I had to turn around when I got to this river.
Do you have to ever make a reservation for any national forest?
You do. So a lot of the campgrounds are on recreation.gov. Mm-hmm. But for an example, like, so 2024 Labor Day weekend, I was in the middle of the San Juan Mountains and I finished a hike. It was just about dark and I could walk into a campground in one of the prettiest places in the country and pick a site. So if Rocky Mountain National Park, you would have had to have those books like the minute they're available.
Yeah.
And so it's a totally different thing. And I didn't even take a site. Like, I'm a solo traveler, so I take a dispersed campsite. And that's another thing that they do differently than national parks do. And I would advise national parks to do this, where you can just camp kind of wherever. There are a lot of people who make makeshift fire rings, and there's room for one vehicle, maybe two, and you park there and camp, and you're all on your own. And it's a really nice experience, just you and nature and the stars. And they don't do that in national parks. Like, they have a lot of big parking lots. They can make them open. But it's, again, one of those kind of gateway community. They want people in hotels and campgrounds outside the park. And
yeah, my brother and sister-in-law live in Denver, and we wanted to go visit them about a year or two ago. And we wanted to go to Rocky Mountain National Park. And so she's texting us. So she was like, what date do you want to go? And I was like, our trip's not forever. Why do you? And she's like, no, I have to get the tickets tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
So I learned that you have to just make a plan and get a ticket. Yeah.
So a lot of that creates fear of missing out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so you think that this is the thing to do. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
I got to do it. And it makes it really competitive. And some people love that.
Yeah.
And others don't. So this too, it's showing people different ways to travel. So if you love the planning, if you love getting in there and elbowing people for reservations and these things, and there are little games people play, like you can book campgrounds for 2 weeks in advance. So a lot of people will book them for 2 weeks and then cancel what they don't want. So it creates problems. Like when you sit there and look, you're like,
there's no
just
penalty.
Available.
There's no penalty for canceling.
How come none are available?
Yeah.
And it's just different type of situation. But they definitely aren't less beautiful and in the national forest.
So the national parks have come like to have a queue and a ticket waiting, kind of like Disney World or something, where you have to
very much so. And I've recently seen articles like they're trying to do the counter narrative where crowds are good. And I've never met a person who's like, I want more crowds. I want more gridlock. I want to wait at the entrance for 3 hours instead of 2 hours. It's like, I don't know who you're talking to.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. With us in the studio today, we have travel writer Mike Oswald, and we're talking about his brand new book, Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders. And this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. It's our membership drive, and that means it's time for you to support the in-depth conversations we produce every day. You're only going to find this kind of news and information on public radio, so support this station now at WOSU.org. And this is a very special time to become a member, because for this hour only, we are talking about our thank you gift, the book Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders. From the Grand Canyon to the hidden waterfalls like Proxy Falls, Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders brings together the best of the West in one beautifully designed book. It highlights both well-known destinations and quieter alternatives where you can explore without the crowds. Start a sustaining gift today at $15 a month, or make a one-time gift of $180 to receive your copy of this great book. And if WOSU Public Media is a part of your daily routine, keeping you informed and connected, this is a great time to give back. A monthly gift is a great way to support the programs you value. Start your sustaining gift today at WOSU.org and get this great thank you gift in return. And it's no secret, the public media funding has changed recently, much like the funding at national parks. We no longer receive federal funding. But guess what? We're still here. We are still here because of listener support. Listeners have always been an important part of our budget, and WOSU will continue to meet its mission every day, thanks to listeners, people like you. So support this station now at whatever fits into your budget at WOSU.org. If $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 works for you, get your very own copy of Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders. So, in the opening of your book, you encourage people to sit in on public discussions about national parks. What kind of issues are addressed in these public discussions, and how do you find one to sit in on?
So you'd go to the park websites or their social media feeds. They'll usually list when they're going to be discussing certain issues. And I mean, the issues are all over the place. It's from like protecting species to campground management to just visit like timed entry passes were brought in during the pandemic just to relieve crowds and to make it easier to enter the park. I mentioned those long lines at entrances that nobody wants to sit in, and so it makes you breeze right into the park. But it also created another problem later, like trailheads parking spots would fill up, and so you're getting into the park and you're just driving through because you can't find a parking spot anywhere. So it just propagates the problem. And it also created, like, this year at Glacier National Park, they're having, you can only park at Logan Pass for 3 hours, and it's a popular trailhead for taking a pretty long trek, so you have to take a hiker shuttle. And it's smart. Like, they should probably do that because a lot of people want to get up there, but the parking lot would fill sometimes before the sun would come up. Mm. And so it's like...
And people would be gone all
day.
Yeah,
and people are, like, they're spending a lot of money to go there, and then they want to see these things, and they just literally can't because they can't find a parking spot. And I understand the push against, like, making parking lots larger. Like, that kind of seems to be the solution to a lot of these places. Like,
but that they seems anti-park, yeah.
It's, yeah, anti-conservation, anti-nature, anti-everything, and it's, and, like, that's kind of my solution, is show people more because there's just so much land. But that'll make people upset too, because then you have more people at other places where they don't want more people. propagates issues. So there are lots of issues that are brought up. I had a funny one that I sat in for Isle Royale where they're trying to discuss the wolves and moose on the island. And one guy in the crowd, he just goes, get rid of all of them and bring in, like, two other species that are never there. I'm like, what in the world?
Get rid of them.
Get rid of all the wolves and the moose and bring, I forgot what species he wanted. And then it's like, let us hunt them. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this isn't like your little wish list. I guess it is your wish list.
That was
actually
his wish list.
So if you want parks to do things differently, because I do know there are a lot of people who have just bad experiences in the parks and are less than ideal. And that's when, like, it propagates other bad things, like people litter, people vandalize. Like, I don't think most people do that, like, fully intentionally. Like, I'm going to go to this beautiful place and do something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I normally think it's a byproduct of just not having the time that they thought they would have.
Did you give away, I mean, in your 1,000 Western Wonders, you're trying to have people avoid the crowd, so you're showing them some, like, off the beaten path places. Did you get any feedback yet where someone was like, you gave away my secret spot?
I'm going to make some enemies.
Yeah.
I did a podcast interview with the National Parks Traveler, Kurt, and he's just like, yeah, pretty much got them all. And you could see, he says, I'm pretty sure I didn't get them all.
Yeah.
Because there's 390 million acres, but there are a lot of spots that are beautiful. And I am a little conflicted about that, but I spent a whole month thinking about whether what I'm doing is right or wrong. And I'm like, rather than to appease a small minority of the outside insiders, I think the public deserves to know about their public. I end the book with, like, if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know.
which is just
but,
like,
but keep it a secret, right? Yeah. You should add that, don't tell anyone. If you buy the book, then you know. But
we live in a time now where, like, if too many people go to these places, we do have technological solutions to them. Like, before, like,
there
you,
are no
you can
secrets.
See how people manage them before. Like, they start. They name something the same name as the place that they wanted to protect, like, not far away, and then send people there. And they do all their little things, like, just kind of games. And, like, I'm like, I get it. Like, you don't
want... But all you need is a Reddit forum now, and it'll explain it away for you, right?
Yeah, but the internet has ways of scrubbing things, too. There are a lot of places that you don't find.
Now, in this book... The pictures are gorgeous. Did you take most of them yourself? I was they're beautiful pictures.
I did. Yeah, that's part of the reason why I kind of upgraded to a coffee table book. My photography's pretty decent now, and I'm still unfortunately not the type of person that waits around for, like, that perfect light. But every once in a while, I am there in the right place at the right time, and get some pretty good photos. I kind of wish I could slow down and kind of enjoy it more, but I probably never will do that. There's too much to see and too much to do.
We should describe for our radio audience, it is a coffee table book. It's a big book. I mean, you know, bigger than a phone book for people who remember what a phone book is, you know? And I mean, just gorgeous, beautiful pictures. What is the picture on the cover?
That is Parker Lake in Inyo National Forest. Mm. So that's one that people will be mad at me for.
You gave it away on the cover.
It's only a couple miles, pretty easy hike, nothing tricky. And like the whole Eastern Sierra there are people who won't let me, like me saying just that, the Eastern Sierra is amazing.
So listeners, if you go to our website, when you make your gift at WOSU.org, there's a picture of the book. So you can see the picture we're talking about that's on the cover. But I mean, absolutely gorgeous. It's, it's like the perfect reflection in the, is it a lake? I don't,
Parker Lake. Mm. Yeah, it's a great book. If you're an armchair traveler, like veteran road tripper, you'll learn a whole lot about our country just by going through there. I put a bunch of stats in, like the percentage of state land, percentage of federal land, and then broken it down by the different agencies. And like, it was very eye-opening to me, and I thought I knew a lot about public land. And once I was going around, like, there's so many places that when I was just looking at a map, was in one place. I'm like, well, maybe I should go check that out too. And it's just all sorts of happy accidents, one after another.
I just randomly opened the book to page 188, and I came to this gorgeous picture of Lake Powell. Tell me about that. Where is it? Why is it so beautiful? Yeah, oh my gosh!
That's another place people won't be thrilled about. Like that one actually, like Nat Geo shared that picture quite a while ago, so it's not like it's not out there.
Yeah.
But that's Hole in the Rock Road. You go through Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, which is probably the premier BLM, Bureau of Land Management site, and you end up in Glen Canyon National Recreation Area, which is actually managed by the National Park Service. And it's maybe a 16-mile hike to that viewpoint, and that's at like extremely low water level, is what they say. And I'm not sure what the truth is on all those things.
Cause you took the picture at a low level time. Okay.
It was a low level time, so I was imagining it at like twice the fill. Like that's a serious problem for boaters. Like you have no idea what you're going through. Like it seems like a boat wreck waiting to happen because boaters do go through there. But yeah, it's extremely beautiful. It started goosenecks in the river. And that's the Colorado River dammed up just upstream of the Grand Canyon.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. We're talking with travel writer Mike Oswald, who is also a brilliant photographer. And we're talking about his brand new book, Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders. You can get this book as your thank you gift for supporting public radio this hour. $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org. If you've been a member for quite some time at maybe $10 a month, consider increasing your gift to $15 a month right now. And you can pick up this thank you gift and show increased support for what you've been listening to on WOSU. You can also make a one-time additional gift of $180 to get this gift. And it's just a great way to show your support of everything you hear on this station, from All Sides to Morning Edition to All Things Considered. And you know that this show, All Sides, is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. If having a locally focused talk show is important to you, now is the time to make your gift. Give at WOSU.org. And this book is the kind of book that you'll leave out, they call it a coffee table book for a reason. You'll leave it out and return to it often. You'll flip through and learn something new every time you pick up this book. Public Land, 1,000 Western Wonders features hundreds of stunning images and curated destinations across 11 states, 390 million acres of public land. Whether you're planning a trip or just want to explore from home, it's a powerful reminder of exactly what's out there here in America. Start a monthly gift of $15 a month or give $180 as a one-time gift at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to Patrick McLean in Columbus. Thanks, Patrick, for your gift of support. We were talking about the reservation system that's been used to control crowds in the national parks. I mean, it kind of started because of COVID, but then they've kept using it. I'm sure they've upped the numbers, but they've kept using the reservation system. However, earlier this year, I read that a few parks are doing away with some reservation systems. Why the change?
I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it. Like,
okay.
So they shaped the narrative that it was working and that visitation was down at a few places like Glacier National Park. I have a feeling it was just more of a headache than it was worth dealing with.
Like, and the staff dealing with
people getting in and just people dealing with getting reservations. And because a lot of people just show up and they don't know they need a reservation. Like, I've had friends of mine back home, they're just like, yeah, we were at Rocky Mountain, didn't know we needed a reservation. They let us in. but it's like, so they probably have a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So I honestly don't know what the reason is for rolling them back, but almost all of them, like that Rocky Mountain still has it, and Mount Rainier rolled theirs back, Yosemite rolled theirs back. Glacier rolled theirs back.
When you say rolled back, is it done away with?
No more time entry. Yeah. So Carlsbad Caverns, I think, still has theirs. And that's kind of an odd one because it's not a particularly busy park. But it's, I guess maybe it's just to make sure you have your cave tour tickets and you're ready to go, even though you can walk in too.
Does that concern you, the stopping of the reservation system, or do you, I mean, I guess you're going to say you can see both sides of it, I guess.
I honestly don't know. I'm sure they have the reasons for getting rid of it. And I do think something needs to be done about the crowding issue. And I've been saying this for years, like I've been saying, like you either need to invest more and that'll make like CCC level investment, make more roads, more trails. And that makes a lot of people unhappy. And I don't even know where I sit on that one, but it's a potential solution. I'm like, or you need year-round schooling where you can have vacations spread out, because almost all the spikes are June, July, August.
Oh, like I see. Okay.
If you think like...
Or spring break, maybe. Spring break is
another one. And yeah. Like even winter break is too a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if you, like Yellowstone, it's getting 1 million visitors in July and August each month. And that's the whole population of Columbus, right? Going to one place in the middle of nowhere. Or Great Smoky Mountains, which isn't that far away. They're getting they average 1 million visitors each month. So in the middle of summer, they're like 1.5 million, and it's just a lot to handle. They're like, Great Smoky Mountains is actually built for it because there's so many tourist traps outside. Or I guess that's kind of a derogatory.
I didn't mean to call it a tourist trap. Yeah,
I'm not. I mean, that's kind of common vernacular.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And people know it. But it's built for it. Like there are a lot of human things to occupy your time and entertain you.
Human instead of tourist trap, it's a human occupation zone.
Yep.
Early on in your book, you answer the question that you must. This must be the question you get the most, to tell me your favorite national park. So your list. Includes your favorites, Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and Canyonlands, but you rank them in like a two-tier system. Do you just have so many favorites that you don't want to just pick one, right?
I think there, like in my mind, there really is a tier. Like Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Glacier are that top tier where I could keep going back like all the time, and I would never tire of them. And then that next tier down, like there's some sort of issue, like where it's kind of tired of it, but this place is amazing and would recommend it to everyone. And that's kind of like every national park. They're all have their value and are worth seeing, but they're not created equal sort of thing. Like Glacier has 700 miles of trails. And I was talking to one person, and because my favorite trails in the park keep changing. And so I was explaining to him how I do it. I'm like, I sit down and I make my list. And then I compare it, and I'm like, oh, it's different. I'll stick with it. And it changes for various reasons. Like, I moved out Highline Trail because of that Logan Pass issue. It begins at Logan Pass, and the parking is just so, like, difficult to get. Like, that was another spot where...
So it can't be your favorite trail if you can't park your car.
Well, yeah. And it's counterproductive to saying it's my favorite. It's still great. It's like, so you tell everybody to go there, and they can't park, and, so pick... different. So I have some influence. I don't think I have that much influence, because it's like sell a couple thousand books to a couple thousand people to go spread out to the parks. I don't think it's a major thing. It's less impactful than social media, where you share one place to millions of people, and that's a real problem in my mind. But so I try to be cognizant of it and just think about it. And it is like from personal visits to, I'm like, well, that wasn't as good as it used to be. So let's pick something different.
So you also have a list of non-national park favorites, which is a part of the point of this book, because you're trying to send people to other places. But they're managed. Some are managed by the National Park Service. Your top honor goes to Glen Canyon, right?
Yeah, so that's what we were just looking at, that reflection. And there are so many cool spots of that park. It's huge. Like, it's a huge... And actually, when I was looking at that picture, I unlocked a memory. I did that hike in, 40 to 50 mile per hour winds.
Did you?
So when I was taking that picture, I was crouching this little human tripod, where I was sitting cross-legged with my elbows on my knees, trying to be steady while the wind's blowing like crazy. And Glen Canyon is just really great. Like, that's where a lot of the rafting trips for the Grand Canyon begin. There's one place, Horseshoe Bend, that it's circulated everywhere. Very popular, very busy. The city of Page has it's paid parking there, but there's a lot of different cool overlooks all over the place. It's one of those places that, like, if you keep digging and digging, you'll find these cool little hidden corners of, because it's so vast and so difficult to access. And once you get on some of these unpaved roads, like that Reflection Canyon, you're going through BLM land for a long time, and then you get to
Bureau of Land Management.
Bureau of Land Management.
Okay.
And then you get to the National Park Service site, and it takes some effort to get there, and the reward is great for your time you put into it.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening during our membership drive. You're running out of time to make your gift this hour. Remember that your support pays for programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides, All Things Considered, and Morning Edition. These programs are paid for with listener support, and in return for your gift, we have a great thank you gift. Are you ready to explore? Public Land 1000 Western Wonders is your guide to some of the most remarkable places in the country. From Yosemite Valley to the rugged ranges to remote canyons, it is packed with ideas for every season. And whether you're chasing waterfalls, mountain views, or desert landscapes, this book is going to teach you the popular places that you've heard of and then the places you may have never heard of. It's going to teach you places to visit in 11 different states, and it includes 1,000 Western Wonders. And you could pick up this brand new book and say thank you to public media at the same time. Make a gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to John Kreider from Columbus, and we also heard from Brett Powell from Reynoldsburg. Thank you both for your gifts of support today. When you start a monthly gift to WOSU Public Media, you're helping ensure this service is here tomorrow and the next day and the next. Strong, independent, and ready to serve the community. Start your sustaining gift right now at WOSU.org. And as a regular listener to All Sides, you know that we're going to bring you a diverse range of topics. Every Monday, you hear our weekly reporter roundtable, and you learn about the latest bills moving through the State House. Every Tuesday, we have Tech Tuesday. Every Thursday, we have Fascinating Ohio, a show where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. If you appreciate these kind of shows, if you appreciate the kind of journalism you hear from public radio, make a gift now at WOSU.org. You could call us, too, 866-897-9678. I wanted to ask you about America celebrating its 250th birthday, anniversary, whatever we want to call it. Do you think National Parks attendance is going to be big this summer for this big 250th celebration?
I haven't thought for sure there are spikes whenever a park celebrates their anniversary.
Yeah.
I bet you like that American pride will be shining through, and there's no better way to do it, right, than celebrating our most beautiful landscapes. Mm-hmm. So, and like the National Park Service does manage a lot of the like true American places, like the Washington Mall is a National Park Service site.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And there are a lot of places on the East Coast that are battlefields and all sorts of historical sites. So yeah, I'm sure it'll a pretty significant spike in visitation for the 250th birthday. Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America. Yeah, yeah. Because you spend so much time traveling and documenting all these public lands, have you developed relationships with like the staff workers that you meet along the way? Do you go back every year to say hi to the same person or anything like that?
I haven't. No, I'm generally trying to do things anonymously.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think you get a more like candid take on things. Mm. And that too, like I never really thought about doing it that way until I was doing a trail and there was the parks nonprofit. They had a bunch of people that were working for their parks nonprofit, and they were giving me information, like unsolicited information. So I'm like, what's going on here? And I had a friend who was a part of a volunteer for that nonprofit, and I'm like, are they like feeding me information and do they know that I'm there? And he's like, and he was non-committal on answering that. So I'm like, all right, that's an answer.
They sought you out.
So, and maybe I should more to get their agenda on what they want to do. But I like my take on things, and I think more information is better. Although I do understand that they have issues with, like, I don't want to put people in bad situations for search and rescue. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand those are major concerns. And
let's talk about some of the warnings you give in the book, because you say like you'll introduce, you know, an off the wall place, but then you write in here to make sure you know what you're getting into. Like, you're not trying to send someone on a hike where they're going to get lost or not be prepared for the weather. So what advice do you give people whenever you say to be prepared?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing is to know yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to know your limits and to gradually go into these things. I don't think hiking or exploring mountains or slot canyons or whatever that are relatively dangerous, more dangerous than just walking on the sidewalk or whatever. But you need to like know your limits, know what you need for water and snacks, and you absolutely should carry like a GPS that will help you out getting out of a bind. Because this is another thing, like when I was in the Wind River Range, like some people will purposefully give you bad information. Like, I had two different people give me bad information while I was there, and I'm like,
why?
That doesn't sound right, because they don't like people coming to the places they love.
Oh, where is that you said that was?
So this is in Wyoming. It's just outside Grand Teton National Park.
Huh.
And it's a place where Grand Teton's getting the 30,000 people per day, And this, it's probably like the most beautiful mountain range in our country, I think, in my opinion. It's like Patagonia, but in this hemisphere.
Yeah.
And, but it's very difficult to access and people are pretty protective of it. And I have a theory that that is the reason, like, the Antiquities Act can't be used in Wyoming anymore.
Okay, and I don't know what that...
So the Antiquities Act is what the president uses to dedicate new national monuments, new National Park Service land.
Okay.
So you can just use it through executive authority. And they use that for Grand Teton. They use that for Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Okay.
And when they dedicated Devil's Tower, they revoked the Antiquities Act from being used again in Wyoming. So you start looking around, and you're like, why? Why did they want that to be not be able to be used? Uh-huh. And I think the Wind River Range and the Bighorn Mountains are the big reasons why they didn't want it to be shifting who manages it, and just public awareness of them too.
They didn't want it. They didn't want their private spot to end up on a list of places you should visit.
Yeah, yeah, and until now.
And now it's in your book. Yes.
Yeah. This is why I was thinking about having different license plates for us in different states. I was looking on eBay. I'm like, maybe I should get a Wyoming and an Idaho and a Montana license plate.
And you could just say, I'm from here, right? Yes.
Yeah.
They might catch you for your accent a little bit. You gotta.
Yeah. I mean, they already. I knew it was kind of like a pointless endeavor because I'm walking around with a big camera and that's already like a mark against you. And it's just like, what's that guy doing?
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. You're running out of time to make your gift this hour. Your support pays for programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides, All Things Considered, and Morning Edition. And are you ready to explore? Well, Public Land 1000 Western Wonders is your guide to the most remarkable places in the country. It is packed with ideas for every season, and whether you're chasing waterfalls, mountain views, or desert landscapes, you will learn something new from this book, you will find a place to visit, or you could just visit from the comfort of your own home through all of the gorgeous pictures. Start a monthly gift today and support public media, and get this great thank you gift. $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to Royal Roads from Gambier, and Royal writes that All Sides and Fresh Air keep me hopeful, as do Amy Jurevich and Christopher Purdy. They are the heart of the community. Well, that's very sweet, Royal. Thank you for that comment. And thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us today. And you can join us right now by making a gift. Don't wait. We have about 12 minutes left in the hour. We would love to hear from a few more people before the hour ends. We want to add your name to the growing list of listener contributors. There's 12 minutes left in the hour. Make a gift before this hour ends and show us that this type of programming is important to you and that you want to see public radio succeed. Give while this hour is on the air. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Do you learn something new about our country every time you visit a place? Like, I mean, are you the lifelong learner I was talking about a minute ago?
Yeah, nonstop. And it's, I do spend a lot of time scrolling around Google Maps, so I kind of have an idea what I'm getting into most of the time, but it doesn't beat being there in person and just looking around and seeing what's out there and just learning about people too. Like I feel like through running a business, I become kind of a sideline psychologist of just understanding human behavior. And that's interesting also, just seeing what makes people tick, what's what they're interested in, what they love doing, what we love about our country. And because I do think we need more national pride. That's like a weird phrase to say, national pride. But I think our land is one of the things that we can be proudest about.
So I mentioned that you focused on 11 states. So you have a map in here that lists. So like in Montana, for example, you list 54 wonders, and then Wyoming has 47, Colorado 96, and it adds up to 1,000. Did you have this 1,000 number in mind? Was that what your goal went? Like, how did you decide that you were going to start do this book and make it 1,000?
I thought it sounded nice, and I was thinking I wanted to be a 350-page book was what I was shooting for. And so I'm like, well, 3 wonders per page, that sounds about right. And then it ended up, when I finished it was 450 pages. So then you'll see I took out a bunch of pictures and see it. There's some full text pages in there, which I didn't want to do, but at the end I'm just like, I gotta keep the content more than the photos, and the photos can be put somewhere else. And so it ended up being a almost 400 page book, and
Did you have more than 1,000? Did you have to cut some?
Yeah, there's a lot of room for more. I tossed around a lot of ideas to make it sort of geographical, to have like mountains and do canyons later and then deserts. Mm-hmm. And but with my kind of extensive national park knowledge, that was and people's interest in the national parks, to make it sort of dollarable, I guess. Mm. You kind of need those national parks in there. Like I enjoyed doing this.
You were thinking about cutting out all the national parks and just doing the off the beaten path places. Yeah,
it wouldn't have been a bad idea, but yeah. It's I do like I'm not a charity. I hope it kind of works, kind of works at least. And so the national parks kind needed to be in there. But I do think I'm going to do a 2,000 Western Wonders, maybe a 3,000 Western Wonders, because there's a lot more to out there to check out.
Wow, then that would be a really, really thick book then.
But yeah, the 1,000 West, it kind of had an alliterative name to it, and sounds good, and just like people like those big, even numbers.
Well, yeah, but I'm getting ahead of ourselves, you know, because this book just came out. But do you have plans for future public land books focusing on, I don't know, the Midwest, the South, like other regions of the country, or is the West where it is?
I do think the West is where it is. Mm-hmm. But the next thing that I'm going to work on is an all National Park Service unit book. So there's
what does that mean? National Park Service unit.
The National Park Service manages more than 400 units. The national parks are the ones that everybody knows. There's 63 of those. So there are a lot of other ones that people don't know about. Like Organ Pipe Cactus is in there. Glen Canyon National Recreation Area is another non-national park, National Park Service unit. That's really cool. So
I've never heard it called a unit before. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what else to call it.
So it's managed by them, but it's not one of the 63 national parks.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and so there's a ton. So like Washington Mall, I mentioned, is one. There are a lot of things that you just don't know unless you're kind of a national park junkie. Mm-hmm. And there's one book out there on that, but I want to make something atlas-sized that's sort of a drive-along road trip with big maps and pretty pictures and do it spiral-bound.
Yeah, so the idea of like, because things keep changing. So you have like your national parks guide, but it probably mentions the reservation systems in there, but now they're doing away with the reservation system. So it's probably hard to keep things up to date, right?
It is. Yeah. So a lot of things did change. And that's, I was trying to figure out how to manage that. And I made things more evergreen, more ambiguous, because when I was sitting there looking at, like, I had a new edition come out in 2022, and then it felt like after it came out, everything changed.
I'm
like, oh, man, that sucks. And no information is better than wrong information, right? Like, if they're sitting there trusting you on what this is supposed to be, and then that isn't the way it is. So I do a lot of referring to the park website, which is just a good idea in general to go check out the National Park website to get the most current.
I feel like keeping it up to date, you'd have to do a new one every year, and then you'd need a staff to help you do that, right?
Yeah. And even then it'd be difficult because it's a lot of information and things just are fluid. Like Big Bend National Park in Texas, they have a construction project. It was supposed to happen last year, didn't happen. It was supposed to happen this year, didn't happen. And now it's just kind of up in the air of when it will. So you sit there, you need an eraser or digital, right? Like digital would work.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. You're running out of time to make your gift. Don't wait. Give right now. We have just about 7 minutes left in the hour. We'd love to hear from 5 more people before the hour ends. And this hour will be a great success when we hear from you. There is a whole world of public land waiting to be explored, and Public Land 1000 Western Wonders will help you find it. With detailed insights and breathtaking photography, it goes beyond the familiar to uncover places that you may not know of yet. Start a sustaining gift of $15 a month or make a one-time gift of $180 and plan your next adventure. Or, of course, you can be an armchair explorer as well. Get this great book today and support public radio at the same time. Give at WOSU.org. Perhaps you listen to All Sides often, and if you do, then you know we're working hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it all on this show. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of the issues that matter to you. And this is something that only happens on public radio. Support local programming that is truly local. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have 6 minutes left in the hour. We're looking to hear from you right now. Don't wait until the hour's over. Give right now, and I will say thank you to you on the air. You're running out of time to get the book Public Land 1000 Western Wonders by our guest today, Mike Oswald. And there is so much to discover in this book. 11 states, 390 million acres of public land, unlimited adventures. Give at WOSU.org or give us a call at 866-897-9678. So what would you say is the most family-friendly of your thousand Western wonders? I mean, there's a thousand out there. I'm sure there's a lot. But tell me about a place where if you have some young kids that you would definitely take them. Would you be more inclined to say you need to take your young kids to a national park rather than an off-the-wall place?
Probably, just because they're the most developed. But I wouldn't completely rule it out. Like, so if we go back to the Eastern Sierra, there are sort of tourist-developed areas like Mammoth Lakes. It's a pretty well-developed, it's more of a ski town. But and there are beaches, there are little lakes, there are hot springs. There's a lot of everything over there, and there's like a sad history of America too with a Japanese internment camp on that side of the mountains too. So you can give a pretty well-rounded vacation to your children by showing them like the human side of things and then the natural side of things, and so I wouldn't rule it out. And you could combine that with national parks, because that's right between Sequoia National Park, which is home to the tallest peak in the United States, Mount Whitney, or in the lower 48. And then Death Valley is on the other side of it, where you find the lowest point in North America, Badwater Basin. So you get national parks and a little national forest action, some history and all sorts of things in that little corner of California.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of areas like that. Like, there's some really neat places in Utah where you get canyons. And there's some interesting history there, too, in with pioneers and Mormons that go on with little skirmishes. And all of that is pretty well developed, where you have family-friendly, safe environments to take your kids.
I want to say thank you to Cheryl Weaver in Columbus. Four more to go, and we have 3.5 minutes remaining in the hour. So help us meet our goal. Make this hour a great success. Thanks to Cheryl for your gift of support. Give right now, and you could get the thank you gift, Public Land 1000 Western Wonders. It's $15 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $180. Or you can give in whatever amount fits into your budget. It's a great way to show that you value a show like this and you enjoy what you're hearing, to make a gift right now while you're listening, while you're thinking about it. Make this drive a great success, and you can get a great book as a thank you gift, too. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. I have on my bucket list is to see the Redwoods. My daughter did her fourth grade National Parks project on them, and she made a diorama of the Redwoods. So that's on our list. And yeah, you're going to tell me, yes, go. Right?
I'll never discourage anyone, even with those crowds I've been complaining about.
Yeah. And I've seen, I have a lot of national parks on my bucket list. Of course, I've seen the Grand Canyon, but I need to take my kids there too. So what do I do first? Do I do Grand Canyon first or Redwoods? I can't do both in the same trip.
I kind of like letting things build. Like, when I did my first trip around the country, I was really glad I went east to west, because everything gets bigger and more impressive and more awe-inspiring. And I think the Grand Canyon, in my opinion, is more impressive. So I'd probably start with the Redwoods. But if you're a big tree person, they're really cool too.
Yeah.
And now in that book, you'll know that Avenue of the Giants in Humboldt State Park, Humboldt Redwood State Park, is just down the road and has a whole bunch of different redwood groves as well.
And they're giants as well.
Yeah, huge.
Hence the name.
Yep.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This hour has been all about national parks, and I want to thank you for joining us today. This hour, we have a special thank you gift. If you love the outdoors and are dreaming about your next trip, you need this book, Public Land, 1000 Western Wonders. It'll open the door to unforgettable places, and author Mike Oswald takes you beyond the usual stops to off-the-beaten-path waterfalls, alpine lakes, and quiet landscapes across our national parks, forests, and public lands. It is more than 400 pages of inspiration, and it'll help you plan where to go next. Start a monthly gift today of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. Go to WOSU.org or give us a call, 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to travel writer Mike Oswald. His book is called Public Land, 1000 Western Wonders. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone at All Sides and all the listeners. I'm glad that programs like this exist, where you have thoughtful discourse with serious guests, that like non-combative discourse and non-sensational journalism.
We try our best, don't we?
You're doing great.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for your time. And you, there's still time for you. We have a little more than a minute remaining. You turn to WOSU for news and context and connection. Support this station with a monthly gift right now, and it will help us keep this information available for you and others. We are listener-supported public radio, and this is listener-supported WOSU FM and HD1 Columbus. We're online at WOSU.org. Make a gift right now in support of the programming you listen to. Get a great thank you gift, Public Land 1000 Western Wonders. It's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. That's at WOSU.org, or you can give us a call, 866-897-9678. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for your support of All Sides and WOSU. I'm Amy Jurevich.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.